Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church. God is good, and we are excited that you're here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, listen, we are kicking off a new series here at Open Arms, and it is called The Ultimate OS. How many geeks and techies and yeah, we got a few of you. Well, we're going to geek out over the next 3 weeks. So if you're not a tech person, that's okay. I promise you, I will be explaining things in such a way that they will make sense, okay? In fact, it will be such an oversimplification that the techie people are going to be, you know, curling up and going into spasms because they're going, it's really not that way. But that's okay. It will serve the purpose of what we're going to be talking about today. So we all have cell phones, right? Many of us have cell phones, and many of us have computers and tablets, right? And each of these, friends, each of these items has an operating system. It's the nature of the machine. So you've got the hard stuff on the outside. This is known as the hardware, right? But we got to have something that runs it. And so we have the nature of this machine, which we call an operating system. In the tech world, that's OS for short. So throughout this series, we'll be talking about our OS or our operating system. And that's what we're talking about is that code that's on the inside, this system that makes everything run and work together. And the interesting thing is that just as the machines have operating systems, guess what? This soft machine has an operating system. How many have ever been using a computer or maybe a smartphone or a tablet and you had this thing freeze up on you, right? It just gets slower and slower. It gets bulky. It might even crash on you. Are you walking with me here? You know what I'm talking about? Or is everybody sleeping? So those are very frustrating moments, right? Where we have these things that we're trying to use and make sense of, and we're really not that gifted with it anyway, and then it gives us a hard time by throwing a tantrum and crashing, right? Well, here's the reality. We have the same kind of breakdowns with the soft machine as well. How many have ever seen a baby throw a fit? Yeah? A toddler throw a tantrum. A child get angry and sass back, right? We have breakdowns. How about a teenager? Sassy. Right? How about an adult? Ever seen an adult have a breakdown? Yeah. So within these hard machines, we have a thing called an operating system that serves as the nature that causes these things to function and work. And in the soft machine of people, guess what? We also have this operating system, and it's called a nature. And when it comes to computers and technology, there are many operating systems. So this particular computer is running Linux. And I had a wonderful friend help me out with that. This computer's running Linux, which is one operating system. And then we've got the Apple OS operating system operating on the iPad. And then we have some version of the Android operating system. I don't know if it's Marshmallow or Sugar Cookie or God knows what, because they always name it after junk food to make us hungry, right? So here's the thing. Each of these has operating systems, and they don't necessarily communicate well to one another either. But when it comes to people, friends, when it comes to people, there are only two operating systems in the world. And in your outlines, you'll see that I've listed them. There are only two operating systems in humanity, and they are the sinful nature, also known as the death operating system, and the divine nature, which is also known as the life or divine life operating system, okay? So the sinful nature and the divine nature, the death operating system and the life operating system. And as I mentioned, they are not compatible. In your outlines, notice they are not compatible and they conflict with each other. So one operating system, the divine life, is otherworldly. The sinful nature is of this broken world. In fact, it is the cause of this broken world. The divine nature is selfless. The sinful nature, selfish to the very core. In fact, that is the root. The divine nature has Jesus in charge, where the sinful nature, the death operating system, has self as Lord. The divine nature, the life operating system, has the coding of love and truth, whereas the death operating system, the sin operating system, has the coding of selfishness, self-gratification, self-exaltation, and so on. Are we following this so far? And all my little tech friends are going, okay, he's doing all right right now. Right? Making sense. Now, in life, no matter what we're using, there are applications. There are things we want to do. For example, we might want to type out a letter to someone, and that's a word processing application. And you can do that on any of these machines. However, they don't speak well to one another. Okay? And even though they're doing similar things, they don't do it the exact same way. And in life, there are similar applications with our sinful nature and our divine life nature. We will still have relationships. We will still engage in financial management and wealth building. We will still handle the health of our bodies. We will still engage in sexual activity, and we will still engage in entertainment. All of these things are parts of life. They are applications of the nature, of the operating system that dwells within. And so while we will have similar applications of relationships, health, wealth, and so on, how we engage them and what we do in engaging them will look or should look very different. Does this make sense? So, these operating systems that run these machines and the operating system that runs the soft machine, we want to refer to as the kernel. Now, in your outlines, notice that the heart of an operating system is the kernel. And that gives you insight to where we're going with this. The heart of the operating system is referred to as the kernel. And the heart of man, or the spirit, is going to be our kernel for this series. Okay? Now, the kernel is this, it's the conception of the operating system. It's the starting point of the operating system. And at conception, we become a living being. Our spirit comes alive. God infuses spirit, soul, and flesh in the womb of our mother and begins to knit us together. And we become these living beings, triune, in the image of God, living beings. However, we also have a kernel, a spirit, a starting point of our being that unfortunately is corrupted, every one of us. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, I want you to underline sin entered, and I want you to circle through one man. And death through sin. So underline death through sin. So the sin operating system is also known as the sinful nature. The sin operating system is also referred to as the death operating system. Do you see why? Because death entered the world through sin. So if we operate by the sinful operating system, what's going to be produced? Death. Okay? So, sin entered the world through one man. Who's the one man they're talking about there? Go way, 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 way back to your great, 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 placed here on the earth in the likeness and the image of God to be God's children, to start a race of creatures that would be loved on by Jesus. But created with free will, because how many know that love isn't love if it's forced or robotic? If you have to do it, then there's no choice in the matter, so it's really not a decision to love. Are you tracking with that? So God placed within these two creatures the capability to love and the capability to not love. And when the devil, Satan, came and tempted them, they chose to not love God. They chose to love something else more. And what I want you to see here is that when they chose to sin, it says that death entered the world through sin, and in this way, death came to all. Underline that. Death came to all. All people, because, here's the real burn, all sinned. Circle that. All sinned. Now, wait a second. Was anybody here back in that garden? Did you eat the forbidden fruit? No, and yet yes. Have you ever purposefully and intentionally done something wrong? So even though you weren't there and you didn't do this, you have shown by your own choices that you agree with their decision. That when the opportunity to do right or wrong crosses your path, and the opportunity to do the wrong seems more appealing, more satisfying, more gratifying, more self-exalting, and you choose that, you're showing that you agree with Adam and Eve, and you would have done the exact same thing. But all that said and done, let's make note here. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation for all people, circle all people, that includes you and me and every other human being, past, present, and future on the face of this planet. So also, one righteous act, now we're talking about Jesus, one righteous act resulted in justification, that means made right, and life. So, made right and life. This is known as the life divine life operating system, right? For who? All people. Circle all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the disobedience of the through the obedience of the one man, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So how does this work? First of all, we said there are two operating systems in the world, the sinful nature and the divine nature, the death operating system and the divine life operating system. The question is, which one do we have? Well, by natural birth, according to this, we are offspring of man with a death operating system. You say, well, how does that work? Well, how many have noticed that babies don't get to choose into what family they are born? So whether a child is born into poverty or wealth, they didn't choose that. They inherited it. Are we following this? And in the same way, a crack baby didn't choose to be addicted to crack. That baby was born into this world with that addiction that it inherited from its parent. An HIV baby didn't choose AIDS. It inherited it. It was passed on through the parents. Are we following this? And in the same way, when Adam and Eve chose to sin and they changed the operating system within, their sinful nature corrupted not just them, but everybody that was in them, which was all humanity. And so as they produced offspring, it doesn't matter, man or woman. It doesn't matter, type A personality or a more introverted personality. It doesn't matter how highly skilled or not so skilled. It doesn't matter. Every single person has inherited this death nature, and hence we all die. Are we making sense of this so far? by natural birth, were the offspring of man with this death operating system. Now, as we're talking about sin, I need to make something clear to you, because sin gets kind of messed up in our minds. When we say the word sin, it does include heinous acts like genocide, rape, molestation, murder, sure. However, it also includes white lies, cussing. It really means anything that's less than perfect, because the word literally means, in your outline, sin as a behavior, and we have to differentiate here. Sin as a behavior is a choice that is less than best or less than perfect. It literally means to miss the bullseye. It doesn't matter whether it's by a little bit or by a whole lot. When you miss perfection, you have a less than shot, a less than decision. So in word, in thought, or deed, I've chosen a less than behavior. And that is a sin behavior. However, as a nature, as the guiding and directing and controlling system in my life, the essence of who I am, the core, sin as a nature is simply this: it's pride or selfishness. It's where self is in charge. Self-rule, self-gratification, self-exaltation, self-centered, you name it. Self is in charge. So by natural procreation from our ancestors, we have inherited this death nature, this death operating system. That isn't what God intended. However, he created us in his likeness and image to be like him and to be with him forever. We chose, our parents chose, and then we have shown that we agree by our own wrong choices. We don't have to blame Adam and Eve or even our parents, because I have free will as well. And at any time I could have said, I don't agree with them. I want to do it differently. However, I chose exactly as they chose. I chose me. I chose what I wanted, and I didn't care whether it was right or wrong. I didn't care if it offended or hurt other people or not. I didn't even care if it hurt myself, if it gave me what I wanted. Sin as a nature has been passed on, and even little innocent children, we love the babies, don't we? I love kids. And we'll refer to them as being innocent, but they're not innocent. You just watch him. Don't give that cute little guy what he wants, and you'll see him turn into a monster. Right? Throwing his tantrum. No, they have the same sin nature. They just don't fully understand what they're doing. And God does understand the difference between intentional sin and unintentional sin. He does. He's a good God. He's a good Father. However, friends, we have made a mess of this thing, and we've made a mess of, and because we have embraced this death operating system, we've brought death to our bodies, we've brought death to our relationships, we've brought death to our work, we've brought death to friendships and to the world. Look around at society and the earth, right? We wreak havoc on things because we operate by this selfish nature. But here's the good news. Jesus wants to give you a new kernel. That new starting point for your operating system and who you're going to be. He wants to give you a new heart, a new spirit, the core of your operating system. In Ezekiel 36, God was speaking and he said, I will give you a new heart, circle that, and put a new spirit in you, circle new spirit. So what's he saying? A new kernel. See, the source code that you inherited through sinful humanity was corrupted. It was bad code. And unfortunately, in your own free will, instead of instead of resisting that, you completely agreed with it and you lived selfishly too. So you just reinforced the bad code. But and there's no way. How many know this can't change its own operating system? When I wanted the operating system changed on this, I had to have somebody intervene. Right? And guess what? Jesus intervened. And he wants to give us a new code. And he wants to give us new heart, new spirit. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Have you noticed that when we live by that selfish, sinful death operating system, that our heart gets cold and hard towards people? At first, we might feel kind of bad that we did that thing and it hurt them, but then we're going to do it again. We just get harder and harder, and we care less and less, till the point we don't care at all. Have you ever been there? But Jesus wants to give us a heart of flesh where we care again. In verse 27, God said, and I will put, here's the difference between the source code you had, between the kernel you had and the kernel he wants to give you. And I will put my spirit, circle that, in you, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to obey and keep my laws. So my spirit, this kernel, is the very operating system of God himself. How about that? He wants to give you his own spirit, his own nature. And so this is known as the divine nature operating system, divine life operating system. So this isn't self-help. This isn't you doing it for you. The computer can't change its own operating system. It needs somebody to intervene and do it. And God did. And Jesus describes how we get this new operating system, this new spirit, new heart. John 3, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Underline that phrase, must be born again, and circle the two words, born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Circle that phrase, born of the Spirit. There's a lot that we could talk about here, and we can't unpack everything out of this one text. God is an incredible, infinite being. And there is no way in our short amount of time together that we can unpack all the mysteries of God. And that's why we keep coming back. Because he is that great and that big and that awesome. So today what I want you to see is this phrase, born again or born of the Spirit. They're used interchangeably. They're used synonymously. And friends, the kernel, our heart, our spirit, that starting point, our nature, which is unique, is a living code. And this is what God wants to change. And how's he going to change it? Well, he has to take out the old system and overwrite it, rewrite it, wipe the drive and put in a new one. And this process is known as being born again or born of the Spirit. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, we inherited from Adam and Eve and our parents the sinful nature. But Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And so God is going to invade and intervene and change us from the inside out. In your outlines, notice that by supernatural birth, this being born again, we are the offspring of God with the life or divine life OS. So when God gets involved and he intervenes, boom, baby, his spirit invades ours, wipes the drive, and reinstalls that divine life. Right? I wish it was that easy. But what I want you to see here is that By this born-again experience in your outlines, we are made divine, meaning born of God. The origin is God. That's what the word divine means. And righteous. Remember the word justified in Romans that we read, which means made right? Well, the word righteous means right, in right standing with God. Okay? Right with God. So how do we get this? Jesus said you got to be born again. Well, the religious leader that was having the conversation with Jesus, Nicodemus, he said, how does one get born again? Certainly, a man does not re-enter the womb of his mother. No. Right? No, in both sides of that argument. No. Then how is one born again? You have to come to Jesus. You got to notice in your outlines, you must go to the source page, which would be God, or we might think of this, the scripture, the word of God. We go to the source page, and then we hit download. We believe. We accept it. We receive it. We repent and confess that the old one was wrong. We say, listen, we don't want this anymore. We want that one. Click. And then we save it. Yes, this is mine. In Jesus' name, I claim that one. This is my new operating system. Here's what it looks like. Romans chapter 10 says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what are we saying? Who's going to be in charge? The word Lord, circle the word Lord, means master or supreme authority. So if Jesus is in charge, what does that mean about self? Not anymore. Now do you feel the rub? Now do you feel the tension of why some hear the good news that life can be better, it can be fuller, it can be more whole, it can be better in every way, and yet I like doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. I want me to be in charge. Doesn't go together, does it? Here's the rub. Jesus is Lord. And we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So we believe that God did the intervening. He did the intervention. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, that means made right, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith, your trust, and are saved. So one thing is clear, this is not a self-help program, right? This isn't what you can do for you, how you can change you and be a better you, a smarter, stronger you, more successful you. No. God, in your outlines, is making you into a new person from the inside out, from the kernel, the spirit, the heart out. So you will notice that the outside has stayed the same. If you were bald before you came to Jesus, you're still a chrome dome. If you had blue eyes before you came to Jesus, they're still blue. Right? Jesus is changing you from the inside out. And I want you to notice this good news, friends. Did you notice in Romans 10? It says, if you believe. It doesn't qualify who the you is. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone, circle anyone, because friends, it does not matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done or what you've gone through or what's been done to you. It doesn't matter if you're a Mac, a PC, a smartphone, or a tablet. It doesn't matter what label you've been given. It doesn't matter what classification, what anyone has said about you or what you've said about yourself. If anyone is in Christ, have you believed? Have you received? Have you hit saved? If anyone is in Christ, notice the new creation, the new operating system has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Isn't that good news? Now, to be fair, with this new operating system, and I've got a good one on here, it brings stability, speed, all kinds of great things. However, we've got to change. We've got to update our applications, how we engage in relationships, financial wealth building and management, how we engage life as a whole. Those things are going to change. Are you following me? And friends, here's the really cool news, and it's an FYI in your outlines, is that the hardware will be upgraded too. Isn't that good to know? The Bible says, and I've given you scriptural references all throughout today's discussion that I challenge you to go back and look up. But this particular one in 1 Corinthians 15, what you're going to find is the Bible says, this earthly body, this soft machine, it's inferior. It's not good enough. So while you've got the new operating system, and God's going to begin to give you the new apps, and you're going to learn how to engage life fully, you're still going to find limitation. And it's in the machine. And he says, yeah, but I've got a plan for that one too. How does a new machine sound? One that never dies. One that never feels an ache or a pain. It never gets sick. One that can enjoy food and not gain weight. One that passes through walls, but can pick up anything it wants. And you live forever. I don't know about you, but I like the sound of all of that. I just have one problem, and so do you. The source code. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to stay with the old operating system, the death operating system, because that is what I know and I'm comfortable with, and it's like everybody else. It makes me like everybody else. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember my mom telling me, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you too? And then we went down and did it. So, however, friends, some of us have changed out the operating system, but we keep trying to go back and function like the old one. And we wonder why we're glitching all the time. We wonder why we have these freeze moments. It's not working right. Well, we've got to learn the new operating system. And we're going to talk about the new learning, this new operating system, and the new applications in the weeks to come. But today, I'd like you to close your eyes, and I wonder if you're sensing the hope. You're sensing the tug towards fullness of life, freedom, joy, strength, soundness, stability that God wants to bring into your life. Do you sense Him tugging on your heart today? And maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, but today you sense God tugging on your heart. And this little exchange of operating systems is something that you want in on. And if that's you, then we're going to say a simple prayer for you to believe, receive, and download. But some of us, we have believed and received. We've downloaded this new S and we've installed, but we've been trying to function like it's the old one. And maybe today things are starting to make sense and you realize you've been fighting against who God's made you to be. And you need to come back to that same place of surrender, of decisively deciding that it's going to be Jesus in charge and not you. So whether for the first time or as a recommitment, I would like you to pray this simple prayer with our church family. Say, Lord Jesus, take charge of my life. I believe that you intervened and did for me what I could not do for myself. This day, I declare, I believe, and I receive this new nature, this new life, the divine life, a new operating system where Jesus is in charge, and I am fully surrendered to this new life, that I will live it, and I will share it with others to the glory of God, and that final day where even my soft machine is forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.